It's Thursday, March 15th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, show number 750, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save 25% on a one-year fourth-generation hosting account by using the promo code CES2. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, we've got a great show lined up for you for show 750. I'm about to give away about $3,000 worth of prizes. I'm very excited. It's show 750. We've hit a nice milestone here. I've got a great show for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to give a warm welcome to the Hana and all the listeners from around the world that tune in live, tune in post-show, however you listen or watch the show. Thanks for being here, and thanks for the being part of the family. Of course, we want to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Check out all the archive podcasts via the podcast link. Sign up for the newsletter. Sign up for the show. Get subscribed. That way, you'll never miss an exciting episode of the show here, produced twice weekly here at GNC. Of course, got a lot of other great shows there. We got The Gadget Professor, which just pumped out a show. We've got Robot Underpants. We've got Saturday Morning Tech, which there will be one this week. But lots of great stuff to check out over at geeknewscentral.com. And, of course, you can always reach me here at the show. It's real simple. All you have to do is either you can tweet me at geeknews, or you can use the voicemail or email me at geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Of course, you can pick up your Ohana wear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Everyone, welcome to the show. Welcome to show 750. And, you know, I was kind of, you know, I was thinking about it as we were fast approaching 750, whether or not I was going to do something special. We normally have our big shows on the even numbers when you go 7, 8, 9 and so forth. But, you know, 750 is kind of a cool number. It's a big milestone. I'm not going to go into the full stats of where we've been with the show. We do that every 100 shows. But, you know, not too bad, not too shabby, starting in October of 2004. It's been an amazing ride. It really has. And those of you that have been with us for the entire ride, hey, thanks for staying with me. And those that are new to the show, thanks for checking it out. And for those, someone sent me an email the other day and said, hey, Todd, that's a new intro. I really like it. And it's an intro that we had from about show 475 to about 550, I think. But I've been having fun mixing it up, playing with it a little bit here. And we'll be playing some of our other old school intros from time to time and doing a little bit of a mix up there. But this show would not be possible without its sponsors. It would not be possible for me to keep the lights on. Would not be possible for me to keep feeding my family and doing the things that I do. So we definitely want to thank GoDaddy.com for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. And, you know, really what it boils down to is saving money and being online, being connected, being able to achieve cool things. And I've got the ability for you to do that at a great price by signing up for a GoDaddy 4GH web hosting account. Their fourth generation hosting is secure cloud hosting that's lightning fast even during the biggest traffic spikes. And I kind of amplified some of those traffic spikes that we shoved at it during CES when we were really stress testing their system. So you can get their ultimate 4GH account for $9.99 a month. And if you use that CES2 code, that'll save you another 25% off. And here's the cool thing. If you find the hosting on sale, like at $6.99 or $7.99, you still can use a 25% off code. It'll work during sales, non-sale times, etc. But you can also check out all my codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's where you're going to find all of the codes for the show. And there's a whole bunch there that are going to save you a lot of money. So I definitely want you to consider getting out and supporting me by going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. While I'm looking through my stuff here, I just want to talk real quick about my trip to Silicon Valley. Had some great meetings and met great with some great people. I had some dinner time meetings as well. I'm really happy with the outcome of those. It'll mean good things for the show. It's going to mean good things for our network. And a good 2 days spent in the Valley. And I like going out every once in a while and you know, basically kind of stick my foot in the door and saying, hey, we're still here. We're still in business. This is what we're doing. And want to definitely get connected with the people that we do business with a lot. And that was really a big purpose of this last trip. So messing with Microsoft Word here. It's trying to open in locations I don't want it to open. And but anyway, while I was there, I met someone that I guess I'm going to kind of call them a new benefactor of the show. And I had lined up some cool prizes to give away tonight, but they basically threw in some prizes. And so I have just an amazing amount of stuff to give away. And we've already been running pre-show 750 contest where you could submit comments on the show, basically tell me what you liked, what you hated, submitting comments on different websites, basically doing iTunes reviews, Zune, BlackBerry, and so forth, writing up write-ups. Number of folks were using our little OLP, our QRC code, and taking our survey. So all told, there was about 1,000 people that submitted stuff for a show 750 of the Ohana. I think this is one of our biggest turnouts of people submitting comments and basically helping to promote the show. So I've got 3 winners tonight, and they are going to be excited about what I'm about ready to basically bestow upon them. I'm very excited to do this because I didn't tell you guys what I was going to be giving away, right? Told you it was going to be good. Well, it's extremely good. And if you didn't submit your name, you're going to be kicking yourself in the butt for not doing so, for being in the lineup here. But I guess before we give away the show 750 prizes, and we're going to do one for the folks that are watching live tonight too. We are going to, if you hang out here tonight live, and you hang out, and I'm not going to take you to all the way to probably the end, but somewhere during the show, I'm going to do a little call out. And if you're watching live, you're going to get a chance to win a new Apple TV, okay? So those of you who are watching live right now, they're staying up late because I know the time change. We're now 6 hours to the East Coast, 3 hours to the West Coast. So really, it's late for many folks that are watching. So we'll have a little live giveaway here in a little. But the main thing I'm going to do is I want to thank my family, my friends, the Ohana, those that send supporting notes. You know, it's really been an amazing ride here. Over the past, really going on, you know, 7.5 years. Of course, October will make 8, and we'll hit 800 by then, of course. But it's been an amazing ride. It really has. And, you know, it's a big commitment for my family, giving up every Monday and Thursday night. Those are the 2 nights that are basically have been locked out of our lives for really going on 7.5 years. And just like the mailman, I try to deliver the show as often as possible and not have too many times where I miss a show. And that takes a huge, huge commitment. The sponsors being here and committing their resources and dollars, you know, you guys really think about that. GoDaddy's been a sponsor of this show for 7.5 years, along with GoTo Meeting. GoTo Meeting's taken a few breaks here and there, but largely they've been a sponsor here the entire time. And they would not continue to be a sponsor here because unless you guys continue to support the show, and it really allows me to do what I do, and you know, like going to CES and spending the huge amount of money that we do up front for CES, it's a big amount of money. I mean, it's huge, and I'm going to probably be going off to NAB, and I'm going to do NAB kind of a little different this year. I'm just going to go by myself and explore the floor and hang out and check things out. So pretty much about 80% sure I'm going to NAB this year. Wanted to go to the OTT conference next week, but things are too crazy on my schedule, too much time away from home. But let's go ahead and give away some cool prizes. And you're going to be like crap in your pants here if you did not get involved. And I've got 3 winners. And a lot of these folks contacted the show for the very first time. Matter of fact, one of the gals here that have won, I'm not familiar with her at all as far as having commented before, but I want to give congratulations to our first winner is Kurt Wilson. And he submitted a comment on our 750 and basically what he loved and what he didn't like about the show. So he was in the stack for that. So what he's won, and the first two prizes in this come from our benefactor that donated some prizes to the show. So these didn't come out of my wallet. These came out of our benefactor's wallet. We're going to give it, he's going to get a new 32 gig Verizon iPad that's being released tomorrow. He's going to get a new Mac Mini, and it's basically the basic version, the low-end version, not the high-end version. Now, what he's going to get from me is a new Apple TV. He's going to get a Roku, and he's going to get a Logitech Google TV, the review. So I had a couple of those already here, so those are in the stack from stuff that I've had kind of stashed here. So all told, Kurt's going to get a 32 gig Verizon iPad, a new Mac Mini, a new Apple TV, Roku, and a Logitech Google TV. So congratulations to him, and I want to thank our benefactor for contributing some prizes. Our second winner tonight is Laura Van Riper. She submitted a survey entry from the QRC code that we had been putting up on the videos and took our little short 4 or 5 question survey. She also is going to get a new 32 gig Verizon iPad. She's going to get a Mac Mini. She's going to get a new Apple TV, a Roku, and a Logitech Review Google TV. So basically the same lineup that Kurt and Laura basically got the same price package. And then our final one, a winner is Joe Kramer. And Joe is getting a Axis IP camera and Idapt charger. Now I've reviewed both of those items on the Geek News Central website. So you guys have seen those reviews. So he's going to get a brand new Axis IP camera and a brand new Idapt basically external charger for his devices. And he also is going to get the new Sony Bloggy Sport. So that's being released tomorrow. So he's going to get the new Sony Bloggy Sport. So all told here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 13 cool prizes, couple grand worth of stuff here that we've just given away. So again, congratulations to Kurt, Laura, and Joe. And it's been my pleasure to, I thank our benefactor. He asked me not to basically make any comments of who he was. Although I'll just say that I met this individual when I was in Silicon Valley. So congratulations to those three folks. And again, thanks to our benefactor for contributing well over $2,000 worth of prizes for show 750 here. And again, I want to thank my family, friends, fans, and of course, all of you that are longtime Ohana to the show. So next time we have a contest, let's get involved. And of course, probably do the next big one at show 800. I don't know if we're going to be able to give away all these kinds of cool prizes, but I will definitely try. All right, let's talk about my schedule a little bit. Things are getting crazy, insanely crazy here. And so what I'm going to be doing is I think I said in the last show, I'm going to be going to Indianapolis. I think I'm going to do that on the week of the 2nd of April. Then I'm going to be going to NAB the week of the 15th of April. And then I'm going to be going out to Florida, partly to see my daughter and some other stuff, the 3rd or 4th week of April, I think the week following NAB. So very, very busy time in April. So lots of travel shows will be coming up over the next month or so. And I'm in the process of now rebuilding the entire travel system that I travel with. It's the foam in it's gotten all crunched up and stuff. So we're going to be fixing that up. So anyway, crazy schedule here over the next month. It's going to be a crazy year like that as well, folks. I'm going to be on the road a lot this year. Got to do a lot of stuff with business, a lot of things moving, consulting, you name it. So hope you look forward to a lot of road shows. And we'll try to make sure the road shows are just as amped up and as good as this one. I got back today from San Francisco, flew in from San Francisco about noon today. And quite honestly, I'm just barely hanging on here. I had me a nice Red Bull before the show, so hopefully that carries me through. And but anyway, it's been a long, long day for me. Started at 4 o'clock in the morning, California time. So But I did get a little sleep on the airplane, so that was good. Okay, let's see here. What else have I got in my stack here for you? Let's take care of our last piece of business, and we'll get right into the tech content tonight. And, you know, really doing business is developing trust. And you have to have a big amount of trust with people you do business with. And building trust is very important. But oftentimes, we really don't know someone. And that was kind of what was going on this past week or the past 4 days. I really didn't know everyone I was meeting with and got in and was able to make some new connections. And I was actually having some side meetings. I did a couple in my car on the phone and one on my iPad. I had one of the guys from the team actually hold a GoToMeeting session. And it's really important to know who you're talking to, see those facial expressions, and get that personal relationship. And so one of the things that you can do in this economy and saving some money and not having to go all the time, and it's what I really do here, being able to do my business in Hawaii, is I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Face. It's a simple online meeting service, and really it helps you get connected to the people you depend on for success. And it just takes a webcam, and I just got a little simple one here that I use with it. It's just a little Logitech webcam, and it's, you know, it helps, again, build that trust and confidence. You can see people's expressions. So start hosting your own face-to-face meetings online with GoToMeeting. As a listener of this show, you can try today for free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special, okay? Really, don't wait. And really want you to do is go over to GoToMeeting.com, and then all you got to do is click the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. Again, visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code. And be sure to use that promo code. That'll help us out here at the show. All right. Let's go ahead and look at my stack. You guys see my lower third. I should have had that other lower third turned off there for a few minutes. And we'll sleep at the switch tonight. All right. I think that's all I had in my stack. Again, congratulations, Kurt, Laura, and Joe. And so, hey, is any of the other Hawaii, are you, anybody else going out to NAB? If you are, let me know, and I'd like to hook up with you when I'm out in Vegas. I got a great amount of stuff in the stack tonight. There was a fair amount of content today in the news. One of the big things that was announced today was that Google, for whatever reason, this is the weirdest doggone thing I think I've heard in a while, but Google has essentially hired Kevin Rose, and, you know, Kevin's had a fair amount of success in things that he's done, but Google has apparently hired him and his programming team in his latest venture, Milk. And they really had not gotten off the ground with any of they'd gotten one product off the ground, but it really hadn't been that successful. And, you know, Kevin's known for starting Dig, which has been going gangbusters. They should have sold, but they didn't. Anyway, long story short here, apparently the investors have gotten their money back and then some, I guess, and then Google's inherited the team and they're going to be doing something on the social side. So kind of a weird deal. It's the first time I've ever seen, well, you know, you shouldn't say non-successful, but, you know, Kevin's had a fair amount of success and stuff he's done. So, but it is kind of weird that Google's buying a company that has been, you know, or acquiring Milk that has just been kind of like flatline. It's just a weird, kind of a weird deal. Someone, Silicon Beat said, it's embracing failure is the first anyone will tell you is the secret to Silicon Valley success. So I guess, you know, people embrace failure. And failure to me is not an option. It really, really isn't. But I guess that's how you learn, rebound, restart. That no one likes to fail in any business, that's for sure. So that's kind of the weird news of the day. But apparently Facebook was competing to get the team as well. And I really don't understand why they wanted that team. Is good people that hard to come by? You know, and if are they so desperate to buy teams that they're buying teams without real products at this point? It's kind of bizarre. It really is. And if any of you got comments, I'd love to hear back from you. And definitely drop me a line here, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. All right. The folks over at OED Online a couple of days ago was tweeting about geeks. And because this, I am considered the geek here at Geek News Central, the word geek was first applied to overly diligent students in the 1950s and to computer obsessives from around 1984. But as early as 1876, geek was an English regional northern term for foolish, offensive, or worthless fellow. So you didn't want to be called a geek in 1876. In 1920, U.S. slang geek also meant a circus performer with a bizarre or grotesque act, such as biting the head off a live animal. Well, we definitely don't bite any heads off any live animals here at Geek News Central. Obviously, you know, in what Andrew had made a reference to is Ozzy Osbourne. You know, he liked to bite the heads off of live animals, and I don't really consider Ozzy a geek. But anyway, so I thought it was kind of funny that they went through those definitions of geek. So, you know, the word geek now I feel is pretty endearing, you know. Girls like to marry geeks, you know, after they get through their bad boy phase, because we're the ones usually making the most money. But anyway, long story short, it's kind of fun. All right, your time is approaching, folks. Starting July 12th, all major U.S. internet service providers will start assisting copyright holders in the fight against copyright infringement. Major ISPs, including Comcast, Verizon, Time Warner Cable, will begin fulfilling the obligations under the terms of their Memorandum of Understanding signed last year, which will see the providers send out copyright infringement warnings to millions of customers. So this is where they're going to start coming after you, folks. They're going to be watching what you're doing, be tracking your every move, and if they feel that you are using it peer-to-peer service and you're using it to file share, probably are going to get a notice. So here's the scary part. You know, if you're file sharing something legal, or if you're using a cyber locker legally, you know, what is this going to mean to all of us? You know, are they're going to send out warnings to everyone that's doing peer-to-peer? And, you know, this drug deal they made with these content owners, such as recording labels, movie studios that are monitoring the peer-to-peer networks, you know, these ISPs have basically, you know, acquiesced and are now going to start self-policing. So, I'm just forewarning you here, because this is coming. And July 12th is the supposed date that they're going to start. Now, I don't know if they're going to be doing anything retroactive or not, but they're going to start punishing you if you're using BitTorrent to pirate material. Now, one thing, and I'd just love to hear you guys' thoughts on this. How do you feel about your ISP spying on you? And, you know, if you go out there and get a movie, all of a sudden, are they going to be sending your first strike notice? I just wonder what this is going to do to, we'll have to see. This is going to be a developing story as the summer gets in full swing, but it'll be interesting to watch what happens with this. All right, moving on to a new topic here. There is a new Sony product being designed. It's an outlet that will charge you for charging. Now, often when I'm in airports, or if I'm in the red carpet lounge, you know, or even on travel any place at a convention, you're always looking for juice because you never seem to have enough for your devices. Sony is developing a power outlet that supplies electricity only to authenticated devices. So they believe that because we're all having this issue and getting charged, that this outlet is going to communicate with an NFC, basically your near-field communication chip inside your mobile device. And that's going to basically allow the switch to turn on and allow your device to be charged. So this is interesting where Sony is headed with this. I think there'll be enough free power around for us to all get charged where we need to, but Sony is definitely looking to monetize certain areas, and I guess it's all about micropayments. Well, the iPad 3 teardown did not take long. Basically, some folks were able to score one in Australia. And there is a pretty good video on the teardown of the device. And they're basically saying this thing is about all battery. And, you know, they go through and show everything. And it's nothing too special, nothing too different, except for the battery taking up about 90% of the doggone thing. So if you want to check it out, I'll have the link up to the video on iFixit.com. PayPal today announced a mobile card reader just like Square. I'm really excited about this. So I'm going to go ahead and apply to get one of these readers. But it's really kind of cool. It's just similar to Square's reader. But the best thing about it is that it's charging merchants a little bit less than Square, 0.0 less. The only challenge is I, you know, the folks at PayPal have a more of a history of locking accounts out. But anyway, they're going to definitely compete with Square here. And it'll go with a new name called PayPal here. And the hardware and app will be free. And shipments will begin to go out in the United States, Canada, Hong Kong, and Australia starting today. And a lot of folks are going to have to apply to get it because they're already saying that they're back ordered. But there's also going to be support for Android as long with iOS, but you have to use iOS 4.0 or higher. So most of you should be on that already. But anyway, I have the link up in the show notes for you. Those of you that do business or merchant stuff, this is a great way to be able to accept a credit card at your business. And the percentage rate, you know, especially for a small business, 2.7%, it's pretty awesome. It really is. There's a good article over on dondodge.typepad.com. And he's got a title here, Why Company Names and URLs Don't Matter. And that's one of the things we had challenges with a lot with when we were starting our company and actually when we're adding new products on is finding a good name and finding a good, good domain name. You guys know that I spent a lot of money buying ChromeShow.com. I had the ChromeShow.com, but I really wanted ChromeShow. So I spent a good chunk of change to buy ChromeShow.com. So I really think it's important to have the good URL, but this Don Dodge is saying, hey, don't agonize over this. Companies like Zappos, Cisco are words that really didn't mean anything, but it's hard to come up with words that don't mean anything that you can actually spell correctly, that the domains are still available. It's tough. It really is because so many domains are bought already. So they're saying that company names, when you're developing a new company, should follow a couple of rules. Memorable. The name should be easy to remember and not confused with anything else. Easier said than done. Easy to spell. Okay, good luck getting one easy to spell that has a domain name still available. Short, try to keep it to 10 letters or less. Again, good luck finding a domain for anything 10 letters or less. And non-generic. In other words, you want to be, not too generic. So great logo is important, of course. And all good advice if you're thinking about starting a business like Twitter or Google or Yahoo or Zappos. You know, those were all names that just were made up. But sometimes the theme of your company will kind of lead way to your company naming as well. All right, Sprint has decided to kick LightSquared to the curb. They have basically said that they're done. They're done with LightSquared. LightSquared's had some issues with one of their satellites as well since the latest solar flare. But apparently this leaves LightSquared all by itself. And they've had some trouble with the FCC as well because they're trying to reutilize the satellites in different frequencies. And the company says they're filing a 150-page defense to its network as well. But Sprint's out of the game. And LightSquared is there to fend for itself. And I think it's just a matter of time before assets are seized and those satellites are hopefully found the different utilization that are already up. Those of you that are using Hulu, well, Hulu Video Player gets a big picture update. Now it's 55% bigger. So if you've been over to Hulu.com, you'll notice that the video size is bigger. So that's great. That's going to make for a better experience, of course. And So pretty exciting increase in size. Now that goes right back to, it makes me wonder if the reason that they're doing that is because of the new iPad. I'm going to be tonight for the first time, we'll be producing three video sizes now. And we're going to have a true HD version, an SD version, and then a mobile version. I really did not want to have to go to three video sizes, but I really saw no choice. And the increase in size of the actual iPad pixels, we'll know tomorrow more because we got two of them arriving here. We're going to be playing with them. I know those aren't the giveaway ones, but we'll be playing with them here to see how the video scales and how it looks. I'm really going to be taking a close look at that. So I'll be introducing a new feed here shortly, and I'll announce that probably on the next show. Really was hesitant to do that, but I think I have to. I don't see any other way around, you know, with these screen sizes getting bigger. The file sizes just get ridiculous, especially for the length of this show. Putting a 720p video together, you know, I'm looking at about 2 gigs for the file size on the show. And really, in dollars and cents, it costs me more to deliver that file than I will ever make in advertising on that single view. So there is some trade-off there. You know, I hope enough of you are listening to the audio to kind of offset those that are doing the video. It's kind of like one form of media is propping up the other. So we'll see how many people do the uptake. There's not going to be a lot of huge advertisement about it. It'll be on the site, and it's probably what's going to feed the Roku, Boxy, and Google TV automatically, but I probably won't do much more advertising of it beyond that. Okay, those of you that are live, okay, if you're hanging out live, you want to win an Apple TV, here's your chance. Email me right now, geeknews@gmail.com. Put in the subject line, Apple TV show 750. Say, I wanna win. All right, geeknews@gmail.com. Subject line, Apple TV show 750. I wanna win. Now, if you're listening to this show later and it's near, I'm not live, you're watching to the recorded version, sorry. You had your chance on the other prize giveaways. This is for the folks that are watching live tonight. And I'll be checking my email here just probably in about 5 minutes and announcing our winner. We'll use randomizer like I normally do. We'll see how many people actually submit stuff. So get those entries in, and we'll check an email here in just a few minutes. Okay, and as well, the Sony Blog Esports HD is arriving in stores. And of course, I showed you the Sony Bloggy HD that was not the sports version. I showed you that at CES, Jeffrey and I did. So this is pretty cool. And it's one of the reasons why I decided to give away the sport version. It's just come available. So congratulations again. But if you want information, it's good for underwater too. And my wife actually said the next video camera I have to buy has to be one that will go underwater. And this waterproof shell, you can take it to depths of 5 meters for up to an hour. And so we're going to definitely be getting one of these to play around with underwater. Now, how many of you still have a flip camera? I'm sure many of you do. You know, they were quite the rage. A lot of people bought them. I've got two, I think, on the shelf over here. I think there's a total of 3 or 4 of them here in the house as my kids carry them around. But, you know, the folks at Cisco are going to be shutting down on December 31st. They're going to be shutting down their basically FlipShare website. But the folks at Givit have basically allowing you to move up to 2 gigs of data from FlipShare over into Givit for free. And if you sign up for FlipShare, you receive double the number or more of storage on premium accounts. So if you sign up for a premium account on Givit, they'll help you out there. So if you want to check this out, if you've got videos over on FlipShare, you got to get a move by December 31st. And that actually reminds me, I've got a, let me see if it's not reachable right now. Let me show you this. Let me see, reach back here and grab it. I have a Dyno card reader, and this thing is fantastic. I use it to scan all the business cards, and it really works well. They have a program that was included, and the program works great. And matter of fact, I scan the cards in and I have my daughter go in and clean them up, make sure they're right. That's one of the things that she does for me on a part-time basis, is that kind of stuff. But they had a website that went with it where you could sync that database to the cloud. Well, they killed that service. I don't know why they ever did that. It was the most insane decision on their part. So now if I want to share my card scan database between computers, I have to essentially put the database up in the cloud someplace and pull it down with the other machine and grab it. And it's really a pain. So those of you that have flips, you're going to want to make sure that you get your videos off Flipshare, if that's where you've got them, and get them over on another website. At least get them downloaded to your personal computer, okay? I know we've got a number of UK listeners, and Buffalo, a product line, is not necessarily so big here in the United States, but I know it's a big product line in the UK. But Andrew did a great write-up on, and we've got two Andrews writing now for Geek News Central. We got an Andrew H and Andrew. We have to figure a better way to differentiate between those two guys. But Andrew out of the UK wrote up a good article on the Buffalo Air Station N450 USB adapter. And he's got a good write-up on it. Definitely check it out. Full review, how it works, etc. Have that link up in the show notes for you. So if you're a UK listener, you'll definitely be able to check the Buffalo product line out. He's done a lot of Buffalo reviews. All right, let me go ahead and check email here real quick and see who we have had submit entries. And, oh, we've had about five or six. Let me check my other account, make sure nothing came in there. Nope. So let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let me do randomizer. And a winner of our Apple TV is James Anthony. James, are you still watching on, if you're watching, I don't see you in chat, but go ahead, James, send me your email. Let me say, I'm just going to reply right here. You won. You won. Address, please. So James has won a brand new Apple TV, the new one that's on the street, the new HD version. So congratulations to him. Okay. Lifehacker, they've got a tip for you. Now, how many of you have got a plunger in your home? And have you ever not had a plunger in your home? Well, if you ever get in a situation where you don't have a plunger, if you need to unclog a toilet, all you need is some warm water and dishwasher soap. I guess that is some special secret tip you can use. I found this on lifehacker.com. So, yeah, I guess you'd clean your toilet and unplug it at the same time. But that's a quick tip from you from lifehacker.com. Oh, cool. All right. So what do you guys think? Do you think the new iPad is going to spark some new video creation? You know, it's kind of weird. I've seen people before holding up their iPad doing videos. And to me, it's just kind of odd. It really, really is. And I've seen people take pictures. And it just looks odd to me. Now, my wife just can't wait. She's, of course, got an iPad 1. The original iPad, and she's so excited, she just about jumping out of her pants to get a hold of this new one in the camera. And I'm sure it's going to be a big discussion point around here tomorrow afternoon when FedEx arrives. But, you know, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think taking videos with a tablet's going to work? I mean, I'm going to have to test it with her. I'm going to have her try it and then use the video editing software right in the application and see how she does. And maybe my wife will be one of those folks using the iPad to shoot video. Time will tell. But she has a big challenge when it comes to video editing. Video, if I don't do it, it doesn't get done. Luckily, my kids do it. But do you think the iPad's going to spark a new video creation revolution? Love to hear from you. Well, boy, I tell you, Mozilla really opened up a can of worms. And, you know, they have really been, up to this point, really big on supporting open standards. But a couple of days ago, it came out that Mozilla's forced to consider putting H.264 support in its browser applications. Now, what they're saying here and what they're going to do is their mobile app, their mobile browser, they're going to embed H.264 support, largely because the chips on board many mobile devices will support H.264. And in other words, it does its own decoding and shows you the video. They don't have to basically pay the licensing fee. But, you know, here's the thing. I'm kind of torn because I'm a big believer in the video formats being open. But at the same time, I understand, you know, that 90% of the folks or 95% of the folks putting video up today are doing it in H.264. You know, I do the same. We were putting stuff up on WebM for a while, but no one was watching the WebM videos. And so here's really the kind of the questionnaire. Would you guys be upset at Mozilla if they put it in the regular browser as well? Or are you an idealist and say, no, it shouldn't happen. They shouldn't do that. They should keep to only supporting open source software. You know, it's probably cost them $1 million to license it in their regular browser. Now, whether or not they can afford to do that, I don't know. I don't know if that's a yearly license or a one-time type of deal, but we'll see. They are saying, though, that they're going to support H.264 codecs on users' mobile systems. And because the chip, again, in the mobile systems will do the actual decoding and they don't have to actually put the decoder in the actual file or actually within the actual program itself. So we'll see where this leads over time. All right, I tell you, NASA and a whole bunch of folks have really hit some huge home runs today on some pretty cool articles. We talked about on the last show or maybe the one show beforehand about the skydiver from Red Bull that's getting ready to do the high altitude jump. Well, today he did a test jump and Austrian skydiver Felix Baumgartner, and I just destroyed his name, took a practice jump today to help him prepare for his leap from the edge of space later this year. And he basically jumped today from an altitude of 21,818 meters or 71,581 feet, which was about 13.5 miles in from the skies near Roswell, New Mexico. And so later in the year, he's going to jump from a much higher altitude, but this is an absolutely awesome picture. They got him to altitude. He did the jump. It was fine. And his vessel that brought him to altitude was able to descend and they were able to recover it. But pretty exciting stuff, really is. And hopefully they'll have a video out here soon. Again, sponsored by Red Bull, all the extreme sports that they're doing. But, you know, this guy was dressed essentially in a spacesuit. You know, he had to wear to be that high to survive it. So very, very cool stuff. Another cool article is a cool video is the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center has put together a video called One Ring Zero. I don't dare play it in the show, largely because we're trying to keep from getting flagged on YouTube for anything that's got music in it that someone else may own the copyright to. It just sucks because I want to play this video for you. I could do it without music. Let me play that. I'll just talk about it while it's playing. So I'll turn down the input music and roll this thing here. So what I start off with is just a quick slide through of Earth pictures, space pictures, sun pictures, stars, you know, Hubble stuff from the LRO Observatory. It's just an amazing montage of NASA videos. And each in their own right are pretty amazing, and some of the stuff that they've done in science. So again, it's only about a minute, but it's pretty astounding. It's a pretty cool video, and you almost want to stop and look at each of these a little bit closer. But pretty awesome video by the folks at the NASA Goddard Space Division. But anyway, or NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, and I guess the music's from indie band One Ring Zero, so maybe I'd have been safe to play this, but anyway, the music that goes along with it's awesome. Now, there's another video that's out right now as well they took a grand tour of the moon, and essentially what they what NASA has done to honor the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, amazing 1,000 days in science-filled orbit, the LR team at Goddard again created a pretty cool video of the lunar surface, and these are videos unlike you've seen anywhere. And I was pretty astounded. I didn't realize that, you know, there was mountains as big as they were on the moon and so forth. But I have all links of these up in the show notes. You definitely want to check each of these out. These are must watch on your own computers or mobile devices before, you know, for definitely check them out for sure. There's a cool article over on Ars Technica talking about how Google takes care of their servers in the dark. And apparently, Google is so paranoid about when they have their servers co-located in server spaces with other companies that they turn all the lights out in their cages and really make it dark. And whenever Google technicians are working, they're all using like those minor headlamps. They don't even want the lights on when they're in there working, afraid someone's going to walk by and see their servers. It's just kind of weird. And, you know, when they're hosting, co-hosting in locations, this is when they do this. Obviously, if they have their own hosting facility, they don't have to. But I say Google goes to extreme lengths to hide their service. But can you imagine being the one of the technicians and having to wear a miner's headset to have enough light to work on a box? It doesn't seem like that makes for very good productivity. All right, I'm pretty excited here, because we are going to see some exciting space launches here in the coming weeks. SpaceX has announced a date for the first private dock with the International Space Station. So they have a launch window, a very thin launch window on April 30th, that would get the SpaceX craft to a International Space Station for a May 3rd berthing. And the mission is known as COTS 2-3. You know what COT stands for, right? Commercial off the shelf. I love that they're calling this COTS. COTS is, you know, a big, when you're buying, when, you know, from my, going back to my Navy days when I was active duty, you had boxes that would arrive that would be industrial strength stuff that would, we had all this super mil spec and went through all types of heat and cold and all kinds of shake testing and all other kinds of crazy stuff that you would, that would be for aircraft repairables. But as the government was trying to save money, they started buying COTS, commercial off the shelf gear, that you would get the standard box, something that you would see in a rack, in a, you know, in a standard 18-inch rack or whatever. And the COTS stuff, you know, was obviously had a much lower price tag because it wasn't all this industrial strength and hadn't be shake tested. Now, it came with its own challenges. Don't get me wrong, but usually the challenges just, you know, were so minor that it didn't justify having to spend the huge money to make them super mil-spec. But it's kind of funny here that the SpaceX is calling their mission COTS. It's pretty cool. And so we'll see. This is big. This is really big, because if they can do a successful launch and do this a number of times, they could be the first company that would have a viable option for ferrying astronauts to the International Space Station. So, and this could prove that this six-year-old program is being successful. So this is big. And this is huge, because if they get this, SpaceX hopes to continue to prove it can carry a possible $3.2 billion space station resupply flight contract. So anyway, I don't know what they're all carrying. I guess food and stuff. So hopefully they have a successful launch, and that SpaceX is in business. I'm sure these guys are going to do well. Can't wait. All right. A lot of folks have been wondering how many servers Amazon has in their Amazon EC2 Elastic Cloud Computing Service. We know that the EC2 cluster is big. Those of you that are watching the live stream on Geek News Central right now, if you're not on Ustream, you're watching the live, that's on an Amazon Elastic Cloud Compute Service, EC2, along with some other services that they have. And so there's been some predictions, and one guy went through and did some scientific measurements of how many IPs, and they feel right now that as of March 12th, they estimate that Amazon has around, let me see here. What was the total number in this article? I said 445,000 servers. And that's a pretty big number. And a lot of them are in their East Coast data center with as many as 321,000 there. So it's big. And of course, they had a short outage this morning. They had about a 10-minute outage that we were notified on. But that's the first outage we've heard about in literally months. But anyway, so the Amazon's cloud service is looking to be pretty big, and a lot of companies rely on it for sure. All right, NASA's new Mars rover is on its way to Mars, is basically doing some tweeting. And I took the liberty here to look at the last couple of tweets. About 5 hours ago, the rover, Curiosity rover, reported, "Right now, I'm traveling at about 58,100 miles per hour relative to the sun, or 28,700 miles per hour relative to Earth." And of course, Earth is moving too, so the speed is a little slower. But it's basically been giving updates. I don't know if they're actually having someone do that, or if the robot is actually reporting live. It'd be kind of cool if it was. I doubt it. But Curiosity is reporting in. You can follow Mars Curiosity, MarsCuriosity, on Twitter. So it'll be a lot of fun to do that. Now, many of you will wonder why I picked Verizon iPads. Well, AT&T versus Verizon on 4GE LTE network, it's pretty simple. Right now, AT&T is only in 28 markets. Verizon is in 203. AT&T has about 74 million people reached on a 4G LTE compared to 200 million on Verizon. The top 20 markets in the United States have been covered by Verizon. The promising upload and download speeds, down and upload speeds between 5 and 12 megs, down 2 to 5 megs up. And they've seen speeds as high as 14 megs down, 8 megs up. But, AT&T only has 10 devices currently offered as compared to 22 on Verizon. The cheapest 4G LTE device is about $50. It's the 4G LTE phone called the Pantech Burst or Pantech Breakout. And, of course, the Samsung Galaxy Note or the Droid Razr Max are the most expensive ones. But as of tomorrow, we'll be testing 4G LTE here at the Cochran household with the new iPads. I'm really excited about a program the TSA is introducing. It hasn't rolled out here to Hawaii yet. I've been told by United that they're going to pay my $100 fee because I'm a 1K flyer with them. But they're coming up with this new screening system called PreCheck. And it has special lanes for background check travelers who can keep their shoes on, their belts and jackets, leave their laptops in their bags and liquids in carry-on bags, and walk through a metal detector rather than a full body scan. There's only 2 airlines and 9 airports at this time, but it's going to be a much higher. Frequent flyers must meet undisclosed TSA criteria and get invited by the airlines. There's also another way in, depends if you're working with U.S. Customs and Border Protection Global Entry Program. There's also some stuff involved with international flyers. But basically, they do a background check on you and make sure that you don't have any bad history. And if you come up clean, you'll get pre-authorized for pre-check. I'd love it, because coming through San Francisco this morning, even though I'm a 1K, so I get a special line for 1K as it is now. I think I stood in the TSA security line 45 minutes. I had some idiots in front of me. They were just, for frequent flyers, they really did not act like they knew what they're doing. And be honest with you, most of the time it's international customers that don't understand the U.S. rules and, don't know they have to take off their shoes or their belt or so forth. Can't wait for this pre-check to be put in place more places. All right, so what happens, ladies, when Facebook suggests you become friends with your husband's other wife? Well, apparently, this has happened. And a gentleman's been facing bigamy charges because he was married to more than one wife, and Facebook was the one that outed him. And I think we talked about this a little bit, but have you got any weird Facebook invites? It's interesting. You just never know who your significant other is going to get invited to. And, you know, you think about it. You're talking to someone on Facebook, you know, and you're linked to your wife, and you're having good conversations with both. And then all of a sudden, Facebook decides that that person needs to be a friend of your wife's. You know, going to get busted out there. I tell you, Facebook is a number one divorce machine right now. It's, you know, there's oftentimes something, this is true, no kidding. I will get, how should we say it? Facebook messages sent to me that are, could be interpreted one of two ways, innocently, or depending on who's reading it, on the opposite. So I'll tell my wife, honey, come over here. And I'll say, look at this. And she'll be like, oh, that's interesting. And I'm like, yep, just wanted to show you. And I'll do a reply back and be nice. But I oftentimes get some very forward Facebook messages from people all over the place. People I used to know. I'm telling you, it's sometimes it makes me go, really makes me think, you know, and actually it really makes me think about those people a lot too. But, so just be careful out there, ladies and gentlemen, you know, don't be doing anything on Facebook that you would not want your significant other or girlfriend to see, because you'll get outed. You will. And, it's just being proven here. So, anyway, this guy's, probably going to get some jail time. Hey, I want to share with you an open letter that was done by a guy by the name of Lester Chambers, who was a successful musician who received no royalties from 1967 to 1994, who was planning to sue. He's holding up his gold record from Columbia, his platinum and gold record. He says, I'm a former lead singer of a 60s band. I performed before thousands at Atlanta Pop 2, Miami Pop, Newport Pop, Atlantic Pop. I did not squander my money on drugs or a fancy home. I went from 1967 to 1994 before I saw my first royalty check. The music giants I recorded with only paid me for 7 of my albums. I have never seen a penny in royalties from my other 10 albums. I recorded our hit song that was licensed to over 100 films and TV commercials without our permission. One major TV network used our song for a national commercial, and my payment was $62.50. I am now 72, trying to live on a $1,200 a month Social Security check. Sweet Relief, a music charity, is taking donations for me. Only the 1% of artists can afford to sue. I am the 99%. So here's a guy that, you know, basically is RIAA guy. And, you know, he had a label, but they never paid him any royalties. And then in the next breath here, we've got some executives saying, specifically an MPAA executive saying, our industries do something that no one else can. The Motion Picture Association of America said at the Association's American Publishers annual meeting this morning, we create content that people want to have. But I think it's pretty audacious, this guy saying, our industries do something that no one else can do. Well, yeah, they create some great movies, but there's other people creating some great content out here. And they are just continuing. They are on the hunt. They are still pissed that they got their butts kicked over SOPA and PIPA. And he says, right doesn't always prevail. This time it didn't, because our opponents were able to energize a grassroots response, in my view, and I think all of us would agree. The protest against SOPA and PIPA was spread primarily through disinformation, spinning their interest in a way that captured the attention of a number of consumers. You know, these guys are still upset. They don't understand. They still don't get it. And here we got this successful musician who never, $62.50, it was his royalty check. 16 albums. Crazy. These these companies want their cake and eat it too, and then yet they don't pay the musicians. You know, it'd be one thing if they're paying the musicians. These guys aren't getting paid jack. They're such hypocrites. Such hypocrites. They really are. All right, over in Wired. And this is kind of an interesting one. Senators demand Department of Justice release secret spy court rulings. Two Democrat senators urged the administration Thursday to declassify secret court rulings that give the government far wider domestic spying powers under the Patriot Act than intended. Wow. A secret tribunal known as the Foreign Intelligence Service Act court has issued classified rulings about the Patriot Act that U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat, and Senator Mark Udall, Democrat of Colorado, say expand the government's surveillance powers even more. At issue, the lawmaker said, is Section 215 of the Patriot Act, the sweeping power, one of the most controversial in the law, allows the secret FISA court to authorize broad warrants for most any type of record, including those held by banks, internet companies, libraries, and doctors. The government does not have to show connection between the items sought under a Section 215 warrant and a suspected terrorist or spy. The authorities must assert the documents would be relevant to an investigation. Those who receive such an order are not allowed to tell anyone ever that such records were requested. Now, along with that, a major U.S. media company or internet company, they're really not saying who, is basically standing up and fighting their ability to not have to say. In other words, if let's say someone came to our company and said, you will give us records on X, X, and X, I could never, ever say that we received that order. I couldn't acknowledge it. I couldn't tell a consumer under the current law. Whereas there's companies standing up now and fighting it and say, hey, say this is wrong. You know, we want to inform our clients that their media is being looked at or whatever it's going on. So we'll see if that makes it through the court system at all. All right, here's some things to think about. Do you really need an unlimited data plan? Most of you don't. According to Consumer Reports and analytics from Valdias, nearly half of the people with AT&T data plan don't need it. In fact, those people, which make up 48%, use so little data that they should just switch to AT&T's low-end 300 meg plan. That's what the numbers say. 48% of people with unlimited plans don't use enough data to warrant the need for an unlimited data plan. So here's the breakdown. 2011 smartphone data usage for AT&T unlimited customers, 0 meg, 1.1%, 0 to 50 megs, 15.2%. 50 megs to 100 megs, 8.6. 100 megs to 200 megs, 14.8. 200 megs to 300 megs, 8.9%. So if you take 8.9, 14.8, 8.6, 15.2, and 1.1 to add up, that many of you don't need anything bigger than 300 megs. Now, 300 to 400 was 7.8, 4 to 5 was 7.2, 5 to 6 was 5, 6 to 7 was 4.8, 7 to 8 was 4.3, 8 to 9 was 2.6, 9 to 1 was 1.9, 1 gig to 1.5 gigs was 7.3, 1.5 to 2 gigs, 4.3, 2 gigs to 5 gigs, 5.4%, and 5 gigs plus 1%. So I have this link up in the show notes. Check how much data you usage, lower that plan, save some money. All right, last article for tonight. Oh, I already talked about PayPal. I guess that was it. All right, let me go ahead and look and see what I've got in for email that has come in on show comments. And, oh, good. James, thanks for sending me your address right away. We'll get your Apple TV ordered. And let me go ahead and load the email comments. We didn't have any voicemail comments. If you got voicemail, if you have a if you have a topic you want to talk to me about, 619-342-7365. I got an email here from Frank. He says, hey, Todd, here is a article on Wallops Island Space Research Center. I have that up in the show notes. Got an email here from Dino. He says, hey, Todd, I just recently started listening to your shows here. I've been on the hunt at least while on long drives for tech-related podcasts to listen to. Reading tech blogs is one thing, but finding a show I can listen to is another. Anyways, I finally stumbled across your show, and you may have a new listener. One of your late February shows, you said guys were looking for some writers. I am by no means a professional writer at all. However, I do have college-level English under my belt. and I love all things tech. I'm a Linux server administrator and web designer who works from home. If you're still looking, can you provide more information? Much appreciated. Hey, Dino, thanks for being a part of the Ohana here. And yeah, I'll send you an email on what our writers do. I've got one other person that has submitted a request to potentially be a writer. I've got to respond to them. But I got to kind of see where we're at budget-wise with the new writers we've added. But may be able to bring you on. I'll definitely drop you an email. Okay, got an email here from Steven. That he was submitting for show 750. Got an email from Barry. He said, hey, Todd, here's one from CNET. This DeLorean quadcopter flies back to the future. Check it out. Very, very cool. Thanks, Barry. All right, just a few regular emails. Most of the stuff was the show 750 related on the contest. But if you've got comments, geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Follow me on Twitter. And, of course, we want to thank you for being here, being part of the family. Be with you on a Saturday morning tech show. Yes, the alarm clock will be set, and I will be able to get out of bed. But it's been my pleasure to bring you this. I'm glad. I hope you guys had fun here on 750. And, again, congratulations. Let me bring up our winner names to Kurt, Laura, Joe, and, of course, our live watcher, which was James. And congratulations, you guys, for winning the prizes that you did. And I want to give a very warm thank you to our benefactor out in the Silicon Valley that contributed a couple $1,000s worth of prizes here. I do appreciate it. And just send cash next time. And anyway, so definitely check out our insider program at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. And until then, aloha.